Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, good morning. Man, loved worship today. Loved the selection of songs. Man, it was super powerful. Well, my name is Ben, and this is my wife, Carly. And you can see our kiddos there up on the top. Christian, he just turned 12 on Christmas Day. And then we've got Zoe, who's 10, and Micah, who's 4. He's running around upstairs somewhere. So,
yeah, so before Ben preaches this morning, we just want to share a little bit what's on our hearts and how the Lord kind of moved in our lives. A year ago, we were regular people just living in Rapid City, South Dakota, and, you know, had our dream job. Ben was the worship pastor at our church at First Assembly of God there in Rapid City, and things were just really sweet. We were realizing, man, I remember looking at him one day saying, "Do you realize we wouldn't do anything different if we won the lottery?" And it wasn't because we were rich by any means. We were just at a sweet spot in life where things were going really well. Like I said, we loved his job. I was homeschooling the kids. We had 2 cats, and we joke, okay, we might do 2 things different in retrospect. But we really enjoyed where we were at with things. But we started to feel what we call this holy discontent, where we're kind of feeling like, man, is this really what the Lord has for us? Is this really what we should be doing now? And we were having these discussions where we said, Jesus is coming back soon, and there's people in this world who have never heard the gospel, and quite frankly, we're not okay with that. And what more can we be doing? And about this time as well, the Lord was really speaking to me about the Great Commission, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that was really settling in my heart on top of what we were already feeling. And one day I opened my Bible to that verse again, and I said, make your mark, because I was just like, okay, mark, 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 make your mark. And I thought, man, I think that is the Lord speaking to me as well. Make your mark. So many people in this world have done amazing things because they want to make their mark. They want to be known for something. They want to make a difference, and that's great, but oftentimes it's very self-serving. And I felt the Lord saying, no, I want you as a believer, and I feel like this is a word for all of us, as a believer, we're called to something higher. We're called to make our mark by living out the Great Commission. I was thinking this morning of something real quick, and then I'll let Ben have the mic again. I was thinking this morning of our area director, Brian Webb. He has said, and it just resonates so deeply in my heart, we are not called to live our best life now. You know, so many times people say, live your best life, you know, just living my best life. No, we are not called to live our best life now. We are called to come and die that others may live. And really, we're going to live our best lives in heaven. So we should be about the Father's business. Make your Mark 16:15. Make sure there's other people there, right? And so, yeah, we were just kind of sitting on all this, and we wanted to be missionaries, and the Lord just kept saying, not yet, not yet. And I said, finally, okay, we are missionaries right here in Rapid City, South Dakota, unless the Lord wants us to be somewhere else. And then we still felt like this, so we started praying, okay, Lord, where? And just a disclaimer, if you ask the Lord where he wants you to be a missionary, he will probably tell you. And he started speaking to us about French Polynesia, of all places, and
so, when we felt that stirring in our hearts, you know, what we call a holy discontent, we just really began praying. And, you know, I was thinking maybe we'll travel to the United States. You know, our nation needs Christ and desperately. And then Carly comes to me and said, I feel like the Lord said he wants us to be in Tahiti. I was like, what? Like, what did you have to eat last night, right? But after a series of confirmations, we began to realize that the Lord really was calling us to this area of the world. One of the greatest confirmations that the Lord did for us was we were serving on staff with youth pastors for about 5 years, and we went to tell our staff, hey, we're going to be moving on to the mission field. And they stole the show and began to say almost word for word what we were about to say, that the Lord called them to the same area of the world, that they'd been talking to the same area director we had been talking to. And so our pastor, you know, was a little dumbfounded. You know, we talked to him separately, but he was so gracious too. You know, when God calls you, you recognize that, and our pastor was so gracious. Anyways, we're going to be going as a team with them to French Polynesia. As you see on the map here, French Polynesia is about 3,000 miles south of Hawaii, and it's a country of 118 islands, 67 inhabited islands. The primary language they speak there is French, so we're doing our best to learn a little bit of French and head to language school after that. But really, the Lord began to call us, and you know, my wife said, we were ordinary people. The truth is, we still are ordinary people. And that's what it takes to be a missionary, is just be an ordinary person who says yes to the Lord. So,
yeah, so obviously you can catch us afterwards. We've got a little table in the lobby. We'd love to speak with you about French Polynesia, the need there. It is just an amazing thing what the Lord is wanting to do. The president of French Polynesia has asked our area director, what can the Assemblies of God do for our youth? 40% of the population is under the age of 25. So it's like a giant youth group on these islands, and just all kinds of things that come with that. The suicide rates are getting out of control, just intense hopelessness and drug abuse and things like that. So really, the Lord is poised to do something amazing here. We're trying to change the trajectory of an entire generation here. So if you want to find out how you can help, how you can pray for us, get a prayer card. If you want to partner with us financially, that's a need as well. And the other thing is, we are still growing our team. We aren't, God is. There's more people, and we are looking for them. So if this is really striking your heart, come talk to us afterwards.
And then, so when we tell people we're going to be missionaries to Tahiti, often people kind of joke like, I feel like the Lord's calling me there too, especially on a day like today, right? It's freezing cold and snowing, and we love the snow. But, you know, and you get this idea like, oh, people in paradise, they, you know. But the truth is, there's needs wherever you go. And I used to live in Hawaii, so I lived in what we would call a paradise and worked as a medical delivery driver delivering medical equipment for hospice patients. And I saw many times the need. And the Lord opened so many doors to pray with patients, to pray with people, to pray with families. And on one particular occasion, I went to a house of a man, and he was on hospice, and it was just he and his wife there at the house. And when I walked in, I noticed there was a guitar in the corner, and I thought, hey, you know, I like to start conversation. So I was like, oh, yeah, I see you have this guitar. And as soon as I said that, this man just lit up. Yeah, I got this guitar, but it's missing a string, and I'm a guitar player. And so I said, hey, why don't I finish setting up your equipment and stuff, and I'll put this string on your guitar for you. And he's like, really? You know, and he got the guitar. I put strings on it. And listen, the Lord knows how to open a door, right? As long as we're obedient to just walk through it. So I said, hey, do you mind if I play you a song, right? And I just played the first song that came to mind, which was How Great Thou Art. And I just began to sing that song. And as soon as I started playing, I felt like the Lord moved into the room. His presence was so real. And the man just put his head down and he began to cry. And I just sang that song as the man just sat there, and God was doing something that music could never do. Like, he was opening a door. And let me tell you, if God calls you to Casper, Wyoming, be faithful to walk through the open doors. If you find yourself in what we call a paradise, be faithful to walk through the open doors. And watch what God will do. That man, that was, you know, after I finished playing that song, he and his wife, we stood up in a circle and we just prayed that that place would be like a sanctuary where God's presence dwelt. And, you know, the man ended up passing away sometime later, and I went back to the house, and the wife told me that every person that came to the house after that moment when God touched his life, he told about that experience. Isn't that amazing that a man who at the end of his life is still testifying what God did in that moment? Man, the reason we make disciples is that we want to see other disciples make disciples. We want to see people sharing this good news of Jesus. Yeah, we have difficulties in life. We have pain in life. But thanks be to God that he sends the victory through Jesus Christ, our Savior, right? And that we get to give that. So I want to encourage you. We are ordinary people. And this room is filled with missionaries that are called as believers to go and share the good news and make your mark, 16:15. So thank you for allowing us to share in this time. And I'm going to let my wife, if you can give her a hand, that'd be awesome. Well, this morning, we're just excited to be here. Like I said, we enjoy the snow. So to be honest, we like start driving. I'm like, yes, I love this. I grew up in Colorado, so I kind of got used to some of the snow. This morning, I just wanted to share a message that is called An Ambassador in Chains. And I'd love for us to pray. And I really want to encourage us, you know, when we hear the word of God, we need to ask the Lord, what do you want me to hear from it, right? How can I put into practice what I hear? And I've shared this before, but I think about, you know, if I went every day, I woke up in the morning, and I told our kids, guys, today's the day I'm going to make brownies, And if every day I went to the cupboard and I pulled out the brownie box and I read the ingredients, read the directions, and put the box back in the cupboard, if after day I said, guys, today's the day, making brownies, and I did the same thing, pulled out the directions, read them, put it back in the cupboard, my kids would be like, Dad, when are you making brownies? You got to do something with those directions, Dad, right? But so often I wake up in the morning and I read this book and I read and I'm like, man, that's a good saying. I'm going to crochet that. I'm going to put that on the wall, right? But God's called us to do something with what we hear. The Bible tells us in the book of James, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Instead, do what it says. And so today I want to encourage you, when the word of God is spoken, let's ask the Lord, what can I do to put it into practice? Because each of us can do something with what God called us to do. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just recognize that we desperately need you to speak to our hearts. And not only that, but to empower us, Lord, to preach, to declare the good news, whether that's in a form of ministry at a church or, Lord, at our jobs or our neighborhood. God, you've called us to do something with the word of God, to put it into practice, that we might be people who build our lives on a solid foundation so that when the storms of life come and go, we're left standing on the rock. Lord, I just pray that you'd encourage our hearts and speak to us. God, people don't need to hear from me this morning. What people need to hear from is you. God, what this world needs to hear from is you, Lord. And so, God, I'm praying that you'd stir up our churches and stir up our hearts by your Holy Spirit to live like never before for the glory and the honor of God alone. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning when we were singing that last song, I've never heard it before and I really enjoyed it, but it reminded me of what you read in the book of Revelation. And I just turned to it. I actually was thinking about it and then I just opened my Bible right to it. And it says this in Revelation 4:11, it says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. I'm just reminded today that life's not about me. Life is about bringing glory and honor and power to God, who created us, who made us on purpose, and who has a plan for us, right? Don't forget that the Bible tells us that I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Can you find hope in just that one statement? You may not know the plan, but God says, I know the plan I have for you. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future, right? Not to harm you. So this morning, I want to challenge us to not just seek our plan, but to seek the plan and the will of God. To live your life for the glory of God like never before. I entitled this message, An Ambassador in Chains, because I love what the Apostle Paul says. And today we're going to be looking at the life of Paul. And just hopefully, depending on how much time we have, five distinctive marks of Paul's life. We'll see how many we get to, okay? But this is what Paul says in Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. He says this. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. This is the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. He says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul was a man that we could all learn something from. Paul wrote this book. It's one of what we call the prison epistles. Paul wrote four books that we would call the prison epistles. The book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. He wrote those books while under house arrest, it is believed. And so this is the thing that I love about Paul, is that he was an ambassador, whether roaming through a countryside or whether he was chained. He didn't neglect to do his job, which was, whether I'm in a chain, I'm an ambassador. Whether I'm free, I'm an ambassador. And so let's look at his life. You know, several weeks ago, Christian and I, we were driving to one of the churches to share like this, and he mentioned, he's like, you know, I can tell what belongs to Grandpa because everything has like a coffee stain on it. And I was like, and he just begins to name like, hey, the coffee maker has coffee stains on it. His mustache wax, he said, had his jar, whatever, had coffee stains, whatever. You know, and I'm like, it's true. We always see Grandpa with a mug of coffee, right, wherever he goes, sipping coffee in church, whatever. And it just made me realize, like, he's leaving his mark, just like Paul leaves his mark throughout the Word of God. And I just thought it was kind of a funny thing. So the first thing we see in Paul's life is that Paul had a commitment to go and declare the gospel. Paul had a commitment to go. Let me just give us a little backstory. I know most of you might be familiar with Paul's life, but you know, the Apostle Paul was a man who, before he came to Christ, he was following the the law of Moses without fault. He actually was persecuting Christians because he thought they were missing the way. It says that he was dragging them off to prison, and he was giving consent to Christians' death. So he wasn't what we'd consider an awesome guy that God had a future plan for, right? Paul was a man that he was very zealous for the law, but he was ignorant of the grace and the love of Jesus. And so Jesus met him. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and it said that he saw a huge light, and he heard the Lord speaking to him. And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And Paul had his life changed. His name was Saul, and then his name changed to Paul. And the man that used to be persecuting Christians now was preaching the word of God. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter what your past has looked like. It all depends on what you choose to do with your life in the future through God. Right? The Apostle Paul, you could say, man, that guy's evil. He's awful. He's just killing Christians. But God saw something different. And don't ever allow your past to dictate your future. Put your past in God's hands and let him do what only he can do. Thanks be to God that if it wasn't for the life of Paul, most of the New Testament wouldn't even be here. The Apostle Paul was the author of most of the New Testament. He wrote, like I said, the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. But he also wrote the letter of 2 Timothy in even worse circumstances. I have this fire Bible here, and in the beginning of 2 Timothy, the introduction that's written in the commentary says this. It says, this is Paul's last letter. At the time of writing, the emperor Nero was attempting to stop the spread of the Christian faith in Rome and severely persecuting Christ's followers. Paul had been imprisoned once before in Rome under house arrest, and following his release, he made a fourth missionary journey. But now he was again the emperor's prisoner in Rome. This time the conditions were much different, as it is likely he was in a cold dungeon and chained like a criminal. Most of his friends had deserted him, and even those who came looking for him had difficulty finding him. By this time, Paul knew that his work was done and that his death was near. So Paul was a man who had this commitment to preach the gospel and to go. No matter where he found himself, he was faithful. So Paul had this commitment to go share the gospel. It said, according to earlychurchhistory.org, that in Paul's ministry and his missionary travels, he covered by land and sea about 10,000 miles in his life. 10,000 miles. I was trying to wrap my mind around that last night, thinking about 10,000 miles. You know, we drove from Rapid City to here going 70 to 80 miles an hour, you know, and that took several hours. Just imagine walking or traveling by a horse or whatnot, or boat, going 10,000 miles. Paul had that commitment to preach the gospel. The second thing I see in Paul's life is his commitment to make disciples. Paul, do you see a theme here? Paul had a commitment to go, and Paul had a commitment to make disciples. That sounds a lot like what we've been told to do. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples of all nations. So Paul had a commitment to make disciples. Three of Paul's letters were written to two different men that Paul was discipling. First is Timothy, whom Paul calls his true son in the faith. And a second disciple Paul writes a letter to is Titus, whom he addresses as my true son in our common faith. These are not the only two men that Paul shares such a bond with. In other letters written to churches, Paul names individuals that he has been obviously a spiritual mentor to or a co-laborer with. In many of his letters, such as Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, the letters to individuals and the churches in different regions testify to Paul's great concern for the continued discipleship and growth of all believers. I don't think I would be really serving God faithfully today if it wasn't for people in my life who discipled me, right? When I was growing up early on, I had the idea that, man, you just pray the prayer, you're good. You just pray your prayer, you just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, then just live however you want to. Maybe pray every once in a while when you have a hard math test, right? And that was my concept. Like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said the prayer, right? Yeah, I don't talk like a Christian. I don't act like a Christian. But I'm a Christian, right? But it wasn't until my youth pastors came and I ended up in their youth group and they began to talk about what it meant to have Jesus be the Lord of your life, the boss of your life, the one who calls the shots in your life. And I realized salvation is really about you saying yes to God in complete surrender. So they taught me to, man, prioritize reading my Bible, prioritize prayer as a way of life, as a way of communing with God and to walk with the Holy Spirit. They led me to read Galatians 5, which I would encourage everyone, if you haven't read Galatians 5 recently, man, remember that God, through his Holy Spirit, is the one who gives us the power to live an overcoming life as we keep in step with him. So my youth pastors, the way that discipleship looked for them was just simply having me over. That annoying 13-year-old kid, hey, why don't you come over? Hey, you want to go over to the neighboring town with us? We're just going to go. Oh, you didn't bring money for any food? Okay, we'll pay for you. You know, I just remember I just was always at their house. And sometimes we'd play video games. Sometimes we'd open the Bible. Sometimes we'd build potato guns and shoot potatoes, you know. But we were doing life together. And I want to just demystify this concept of go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. Preaching the gospel is simply telling the story of what Jesus did. What he did on the cross to reconcile mankind to himself and what he did in your life. The testimony of Jesus. What did Jesus do for you? Simple, right? Anyone can say, hey, did you know that God sent his son to die on a cross for your sins? And you know what? The reason I know that's true is because he did that in my life. I used to do this. I used to be here. But you know what? God touched me with his love and forgiveness, and that set my heart free, and I've never been the same again. Would you like to know him? That's the gospel. Don't make it bigger than it is. But rely on the Holy Spirit to empower that message, right? And then second, make disciples. That doesn't mean you ask a follower to shave their head and sit at your feet and call you teacher, right? That's what my youth pastor used to joke around about. No, it means saying, hey, friend, buddy, I'm going fishing. You want to come? Man, have you been doing with your walk with Christ? Have you been reading your Bible? Today I read in this, and you begin to just show them that living for Jesus is life. It's not a thing you do on Sunday morning. Being a disciple maker means demonstrating what it means to live for Jesus in life. Okay? That's to me, I love taking the gospel and reminding myself that it's simple. And just being obedient. Invite people to your house. Invite someone over that you can invest in. Older people can invest in younger people. And younger people can learn from older people. And it doesn't matter. Just do what the Lord called us to do. So Paul had a commitment to go. And Paul had a commitment to make disciples. The third thing I see in Paul's life is that he had a commitment to preach the gospel in the face of opposition. Anyone ever felt a little bit of opposition? You go to share the gospel or you go to say something. This happened not too long ago. I just saw a man walking across the gas station parking lot headed to his semi truck. And I just thought, man, I wonder if anyone's ever shared Jesus with him. And me being maybe naive, I just drive up next to him and roll down the window as he's walking. And he's like, what? And I'm like, hey, man, I just want to say Jesus loves you. And he cursed and walked away, you know. But to be honest, I would rather have just said, in all sincerity and genuineness, just want to tell you today, Jesus loves you. Who knows? Why did he curse and walk away? Obviously, that hit a nerve somewhere. And maybe God, maybe when he went back in his semi-truck, he began to remember growing up, hearing Jesus loves me. Who knows? I have a friend that was on his way to commit suicide, driving his motorcycle. He was just going to run into something. And all of a sudden, he remembered, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He pulled over on the side of the road and gave his heart back to Christ. You never know what a simple message of the gospel will do in a life. So Paul had this commitment to preach the gospel in the face of opposition. Listen to what he says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. He says, I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers. For us, we could say in danger from snow. No. In danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. That's a lot of danger. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I have faced daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Man, I thought as a follower of Jesus, we don't face hardship. Right? Life's supposed to be easy. As soon as you say that prayer, life's easy, right? No. Jesus said, in this life, you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Paul fought against rivers, danger, 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 danger. And that wasn't his closed door. That was his, I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. Obviously, the devil doesn't like this. Paul had that commitment that said, even in the face of opposition, I'm going to share the good news. Because, you know, if you look through the Gospels, you read about Paul's heart. He said, I have increasing sorrow. I would even wish that myself were accursed for the sake of my fellow Jews. He had deep sorrow in his heart because he couldn't believe that the nation of Israel, the people, were rejecting the true Messiah. You read throughout the Scriptures, he had a burden for people. And that burden burned in him stronger than any river could quench, stronger than any opposition could quench. It was the Spirit's power in him that said, no, keep going, Paul. Keep going. Let the message be proclaimed wherever you can go. He preached in the face of opposition. So I want to encourage us, don't give up in the face of opposition. You know, I've heard Francis Chan, I heard him say one time that when the world gets darker, the church gets brighter. Don't give up preaching the gospel because we face opposition. Let the Holy Spirit burn that fire greater and greater so it's brighter and brighter in us. The Bible tells us, it's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I believe that the most powerful force in the entire world is the Church of Jesus Christ ministering to the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I are the microphones in God's hands that amplify his voice to this lost and dying world. We have the message of hope and salvation that every soul needs. Are we faithful to share it in every circumstance? Too often we make excuses as to why we are not being obedient to share the gospel and make disciples. During our itineration as missionaries, traveling to different churches, I have heard people who seem to shrug off the call of God from their shoulders as though God's calling had an expiration date. And they are now living in the expired moments of their life. Maybe they felt the Lord called them to be a missionary when they were young, but now they are old and they can't see the possibility. Even if we miss an opportunity, that doesn't mean that we are forever sidelined and disqualified from God's calling to be missionaries right where we are, right now. The Bible says that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. If he's called you, if he called you as a missionary, if he called you, don't say, oh, I missed that. That's the end of my life. No. Ask the Lord to redeem. Ask the Lord to continue to use you as an ambassador for Christ, whether you feel you're chained or you feel like you're free. Paul was committed to sharing Christ in all circumstances, whether he was roaming the countryside of Asia Minor or chained to a guard or locked in an inner prison in Rome. Paul continued to yield to the Holy Spirit and shared the gospel in any way possible. Paul not only traveled 10,000 miles on his missionary journeys, but according to Britannica.com, of the 27 books of the New Testament, 13 or 14 are traditionally attributed to Paul. Paul considered himself an ambassador for Christ, whether free or imprisoned. The fourth thing that I see in Paul's life is that he had a commitment to defend and protect the church. Paul had this burning passion to make sure that the believers that are following Christ just keep following Christ. I've thought before that, you know, when you're in elementary school, which is what we're teaching Micah, we're trying to teach him his numbers, right? It's so cute to watch a kid count to 10. It's like, okay, Dad, I'm going to run to you in the count of 10. 1, 8, 5, 7, 6, 1. You know, it's like, I got it. I get to it, you know, but elementary school is all about learning the basics, right? You learn your ABCs, you learn how to count. But when you get to high school, do you think you forget that? You don't forget 1 plus 1. You don't forget A, B, C, D, E, right? You never forget it. And I want to tell you, the gospel is simple. It's the simple message that says God in Christ reconciled the world to himself, not counting man's sins against them, and he's committed that message to you and me. And we never graduate past Jesus. It's not like, oh, I have Jesus now. Now what else do I add to my life? I have grace now. Now how can I earn my salvation through works? No, it's you live your life through Christ in obedience, and you never neglect the elementary truth. Don't get too big in your head that you forget that this is all about what God did here, right? And so this idea of protecting the church, what Paul did with his life is he was simply trying to remind people, don't let anyone come in and preach another gospel. If someone comes in and preaches another gospel, let them be accursed. That's what he said. If you read in the book of Galatians, it's like, wow, I can't believe he said that. But he had a burning desire to make sure that the purity of the church, he said this, he said that, I am jealous, this is what he says in 2 Corinthians 11:2. He says, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. Paul wasn't just about preaching the gospel and saying, okay, see you later. He was constantly revisiting the churches saying, stay true to the faith. When he wrote to Timothy, my true son in the faith, make sure you preach the gospel. Don't get too high and mighty that we forget just a simple truth, okay? I know that's maybe oversaying, stating it, but man, have a commitment as a member of this church that you promote unity through the Spirit. That the Bible tells us that to keep the bond of the Spirit, keep the bond of, what is it? The unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, right? Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When we live at peace, the Holy Spirit can move freely among us. Man, have that commitment to be a wonderful protector of the church of Christ. The last thing that I see in Paul's life is that he had a commitment to finish the race for Christ. Paul had a commitment to finish strong. I just saw in Pastor Zach's office a book that by a man named Steve Farrar, and the title is that, Finishing Strong. And it's and in the book, Steve Farrar, he heard a pastor who had said at one time that only 2 out of 10 are going to, they are going to be serving Christ later in life. So you have 10 followers of Christ, but only 2 of them finish strong. And the man couldn't believe that. He was like, man, no way. Only 2 out of 10 are going to finish strong. So what he did, he was in Bible college. He wrote on, I think, the back of his Bible, the names of his fellow friends, 10 names, he himself included. And he said it brought him a lot of sorrow to go to the back of his book and cross out a name. This man's no longer serving Christ. This one's no longer following Jesus. And he began to realize it really was true. 2 out of 10 people. And I'm not saying that as that's, solid in stone, but it does remind us that this walk with Christ is sometimes a difficult journey that requires faithfulness. It requires just loving Jesus, staying close to Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit move in your life, keeping a soft heart, staying free from pride, staying free from lust, you know, and you do that by walking with the Spirit. Paul had this desire that he was passing along to Timothy, that he would finish the race strong. In the book of Colossians, he's writing to the church of Colossae, and he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So Paul tells us two things here in Colossians. He says this, set your hearts on things above. The second thing that he says is, set your minds on things above. Things above are the things that really matter. Paul's trying to tell the people in Colossians, he's saying, don't forget, keep your mind and your heart on heaven. Because if Paul didn't keep his heart and mind on heaven, do you think he would have turned back at the first raging river? Do you think he would have turned back when he first got opposed by false believers? When he was stoned, beaten, imprisoned? Don't you think at one point Paul would have said, if he was only focused on what he could gain in this life, Paul would have been like, I think I was doing better as a Pharisee. I didn't have to face all this. But Paul knew how to finish the race, which was to keep your eyes on the prize. When I lived in Hawaii, a friend of mine, we ran in what's called the Great Aloha Race. And it's just this big race with a bunch of people. I had like Aloha gear on because I thought it'd be fun. but it's an 8-mile race. And like I said, there's thousands of people that run it. But I'm running along and I'm like running like this by, it's probably like 7.5 miles. I'm like, got my head down. And this guy who's like encouraging us all, he's like on the side. The stadium's like, we were going to run into Aloha Stadium, and he's like, keep your head up. He's like, and this is all as I'm running past him, keep your head up, you can get more oxygen that way. And you know what? I didn't even realize I was running with my head down. But when I get my head up, there's the stadium, and yeah, you're getting more oxygen. And Paul, at the end of his life, is telling the same thing in his letters, keep your head up. You want to gain some perspective? You want to gain fresh perseverance? Keep your head up. Make sure that you keep your eyes on heaven. Make sure that you don't forget that this life is not about all that you can gain, all the person with the most toys at the end wins. No. The people that have done the most for the kingdom of God will find themselves having peace, right? So this is, I share that story because you're not going to make it if you don't keep heaven in your heart and heaven on your mind. Because we all face, many of us in this room, I could go into story after story of times that I faced difficult situations and seasons that would rip your heart out, you feel like. And if it wasn't for the Lord's presence reminding me that this isn't what life is all about, I would have lost it. So my prayer this morning is that God would revive in us a passion to follow in the footsteps of Paul, that God would enable us to preach the gospel, to go wherever he called us. He may call you to go to your community, and I don't see enough of it. I don't see enough of just believers in day-to-day life going out in their community and sharing the gospel or in their workplace, and I want to encourage you, be those followers that take the Great Commission seriously, whether you're at work. You know, I've said it before, but and it's convicting to me. I feel like too often we're more concerned with the condition of our lawn than we are with the condition of the heart of our neighbor across from it. We invest our time and our resources in things that really are going to pass away, while people around us, our neighbors that we could share the love of Jesus with, are living in hopelessness. So today, let's regain our perspective on heaven, that there's a great reward for the people of God who live their lives for the glory of God. I just wanted to conclude reading in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I just wanted to pray right where we are, if that's okay, maybe even in just the stillness and the quietness, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, we just, today, on this snowy winter day, God, I'm asking that you'd refresh a fire in our hearts. Give us a burden again for our friends and neighbors. God, we get caught up in present circumstances and we forget that there's an eternity at stake for so many of us. Lord, and I'm asking that you'd give us a passion to make the Great Commission our life's passion. That God, whether we work at a fast food restaurant, whether we work as a banker, whatever we do in this place, that we would do it all for the glory and the honor of God. That God, we'd recognize that you didn't just give us gifts and talents. You didn't just give us finances for us to hoard or to take advantage of for ourselves, but you've given it, entrusted it to us, that we might make others rich with the good news of the gospel. I'm praying over each person in this room. God, I thank you that Lord, so many of them love you. And I'm praying that you would refresh them. God, I pray that they would have the Spirit of God rise in them, that even if they're young or old, that they begin to feel a deep energy from the Holy Spirit, a deep excitement again to share the gospel, to regain what maybe they had when they were young. Maybe when they first came to Christ, there was a burning fire. Maybe 10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, there was a burning passion to see people come to Christ, and now that's grown cold. God, thank you that you refresh that in us again. I want to invite you in this place. Can I invite you to just reach out to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, fill me again. Fill me again with a burden. Fill me again with a passion to reach my neighbors. Give me the plan. Give me the strength to obey. God, no excuses. No excuses for living next to a neighbor that I know doesn't know you without really loving them in the name of Jesus. No excuses with going to my school and not sharing the love of Jesus through my example and my words. Dear God, refresh that in us. God, whether we find ourselves in favorable circumstances or unfavorable, Lord, let us be faithful to share the good news. God, give us opportunities, I pray, just like you did in my life, Lord, so many times, give us those open doors where we just simply are there and obedient. We don't rely on man's wisdom. God, but the message we preach with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that man's salvation would not rest on men's wisdom, but on God, on God's power. Revive the message of the gospel again in our hearts. God, let each of us regain the understanding that even if they're not called to be a pastor on the stage, they're called to be a missionary wherever you've led them. So, Lord, I bless this church in the name of Jesus with fresh courage through the Holy Spirit. I say over this church, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses. Holy Spirit, revive that again in us. Holy Spirit, empower us again to preach the Word of God, to take the burden and do something with it, to seek the Lord in prayer. Yes, absolutely, to pray for our neighbors, to have a spirit of intercession rise in this church again as they are committed to praying for this church and committing to pray for this community. Lord, let there be this burning fire that rises in this church to intercede and to see you do great things. Lord God, and empower us all to preach the gospel. God, we pray. I pray for gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation in the lives of believers in this church. Gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, of prophecy, gifts of healings, of encouragement. Lord, all of the gifts of your Spirit, let them be at work again in us. Lord, whether it's, Lord, speaking in tongues and different, Lord, all of that. Lord, let there be a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Lord, that's my prayer, God, that you'd work with us, Lord, so that we can accomplish the task for which you've sent us, God. And we know that the time is near for your return, and we want to be faithful to be proclaiming your word. I just want to say one last thing that came to mind. It's in Mark 16. My wife referred to Mark 16, 15, where it says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." But I want to skip to the last two verses. It says, "After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that had accompanied it." Let that be so. Amen. Man. Let's just go and preach the gospel and watch what the Lord will do through his church. Amen. Well, I'm going to be done now, but I just want to encourage us, man, we're all in this together. Keep your minds on heaven. Keep your hearts on heaven as well, and see what the Lord will do.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.